The Senate Judiciary Committee will come to order. Let the record reflect that we do have a quorum, even though I'm the only one at the table. and Senator Betzel is excused, but we do have a quorum present. I know that there are two bills on the agenda. We're going to take Senate File 33 first so that Senator Olsen can get out of here. And then the rest of us will take the rest of the time to deal with Senate File 166. So, Senator Olsen, welcome to the committee. Senate File 33.
Madam Chair, members, I'm pleased to be before the Judiciary Committee with Senate File 33. I have some testifiers that would like to speak towards the bill, and I'll bring those up right now. As they're approaching, one of the consequences of our previous bill was that we kind of wrote the deaf community out of being able to operate a Type 3 vehicle. And this was totally unintentional, and we were unaware of this. But the corrections to the bill will allow a deaf or hard of hearing instructor to operate that Type 3 vehicle. And we have some pretty compelling testimony from a student, Allison Porter, right now.
Senator Olsen, would you walk us through maybe the mechanics of the bill?
Yes.
So that when the witnesses testify, they would be testifying to a context so that members can understand what they're referring to.
I'd be happy to, Madam Chair. Senate File 33 addresses Type 3 school buses, which are, there's four classes of school buses in Minnesota. There's A, B, C, and Type 3s. So an A bus is anything like on a van body, but it has a school bus body. So it's a van frame with a school bus body. A B is more of your conventional, it looks almost like a UPS truck with a school bus body on it. And then C is a school bus that has a hood in the front, and a D is a stub-nose bus, usually with an engine in the rear. But a C is really just any other kind of vehicle used by a school district. It can be a car, it can be a van, it can be a Suburban. But they do have to be inspected by the state patrol, so that's their classification as a Type 3 vehicle. And this bill addresses Type 3 vehicles and who can drive them. So the changes that last year we set up procedures for testing of Type 3 drivers and some training for them so that they would be able to work with students, primarily transporting students, of course. But we'd also put on some requirements for drug and alcohol testing, but we had exempted school district employees whose normal duties did not include transporting students. In the interim, we found out there was some concern with how that was being interpreted, so we've come back to say that school district employees whose sole duty is not to operate a Type 3 vehicle are exempt from Sections E and F of the bill. And Section E is a physical exam, and F is a pre-employment drug and alcohol test and submitting to the school district or bus company's drug policy. So we've exempted basically school district employees from the physical and the pre-employment drug test. So that kind of is in a nutshell what we're doing.
So Senator Olsen, under the current law, unless you fall into the category of exemption that you created under your proposal, under the current law, if you are a prospective Type 3 driver or a current operator of a Type 3 vehicle, you are subjected to the physical exam.
Yes.
You're subjected to the pre-employment drug test.
Yes, ma'am.
You're subjected to the random test. Plus, you have to go through the driver's license background check, driver's license verification, and reporting of any convictions.
That is correct.
And the current bill, you are proposing that the Type 3 drivers for whom they are hired, if they are not employed for the sole purpose of operating Type 3, that they be exempt from the physical examination, the pre-employment drug test, and the random test, but that they will still be subject to the other verifications, the background check, the driver's license verification, and the conviction reporting.
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Okay. So that's the context of the bill, members, if you're listening and participating. And Senator Osteen, thank you for bringing us the bill, and we're ready to hear from your witnesses.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll first go with Allison Porter, who's a student at North Star Academy.
Ms. Porter, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Hello, my name is Allison Porter. I'm from Minnesota North Star Academy. I want to thank Senator Olsen for submitting this bill. And it's my third year at Minnesota North Star Academy. And I want to talk to you about how Type 3 driving requirements has impacted me and other students at North Star. In total, we have 35 high school students. And in the past, when we had cooking and transition classes, the teachers could drive us to the grocery store or to where we needed to go. And now they can't. They also can't use the vans to drive us to games in other states, so our team can play other deaf teams. Now we have to rent a bus to drive us to our game, or for field trips, transition classes, and other school events. So anywhere we want to go, our teachers who formerly could drive us are not able to do so. And I want you to know that I really do feel safer with one of my teachers or someone who is deaf and can communicate with me. I feel safer with them driving me, because if I have a hearing driver who can't communicate with me, I don't feel as safe. So we can't have them driving because of these new driving requirements. So that means no class field trips because our teachers are deaf. In the past, we would be able to go to the YMCA to practice because my school's gym doesn't have a full court. And our coaches are deaf, and so now they can't drive us to the YMCA, and so we're limited to practice in the small gym, which is a half court, and that's just not as good for us. So this has really been hard for the students, coaches, teachers, and the parents, and it's been more expensive for my school. So I really hope that you will consider changing these Type 3 driving requirements so our coaches and teachers can drive us, and we can have class field trips again, and we can practice at the YMCA again. So again, thank you for your time to listen to my comments.
Thank you, Ms. Porter. And then we have Mr. Vernick.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Sean Vernig. I'm a licensed educational administrator and interim student life director at the Minnesota State Academy for the Deaf. It was established in 1863. The MSAD is a dual accredited statewide public school that provides standard-based education and related services to students who are 0 to 21 years of age who are deaf and hard of hearing. Thank you for this opportunity to testify in support of Senate File 33. I would like to focus on several key points about the proposed exemption that will allow our qualified staff who are deaf and hard of hearing to drive the students again. The mission of MSAD is to promote the highest level of self-sufficiency possible for deaf and hard of hearing students. Getting a driver's license, too, is a rite of passage for our students towards self-sufficiency. However, without the exemption, our driver education instructor, who is deaf, is unable to fulfill his responsibilities as a qualified instructor. This then prevents students who are deaf or hard of hearing from having the same opportunities as their hearing peers. The educational process at the MSAD is provided in an environment where direct communication access is available to all students at all times. Recently, my staff, who is deaf, had to drive himself while his hearing colleagues drove our students to a traditional off-campus holiday gathering. Suffice it to say, this was demoralizing and awkward for this loyal state employee who is deaf, the hearing colleagues, and even the students. All this, especially for a holiday gathering. Now, federal law mandates that services provided by the MSAD meet the students' need for a free and appropriate public education within the least restrictive environment. Our work-study program has been struggling to comply with this mandate so that our students can hold their jobs in the community. There are many other instances where the FAPE for our students were potentially compromised due to the unintended and unforeseen logistical challenges. But this is not all about our staff members who are deaf and hard of hearing. It also affects our hearing staff members. They, too, have been burdened with additional duties, responsibilities, and accountabilities. To illustrate, I would like to read a statement shared with me by a hearing staff member at MSAD. For our staff who are hearing, she said, the law, as is, has been a huge time consumer. I had to go get a DOT physical, and I'm still waiting for reimbursement for that. This involved two trips to the clinic. I had to drive a student almost every day to and from her gymnastics class in the community. In addition to this, I am often asked to transport students to various events and establishments in Faribault. This greatly consumes my time. I find that I barely have time to catch my breath or to complete my own daily work tasks. It is very tiring to do this on a daily basis. I have also transported students to and from sporting events. In the past, the MSAD athletic director, who is deaf, and who also coaches, and other coaches who are also deaf, they could transport students. But now, often I am the only one in my area who deals with specific phone calls. And then there are parents or others who become frustrated when I am not receiving their phone calls or attending to their students' needs and issues. Again, I find this to be extremely taxing. So on top of all this, I have to check the engine, tires, lights, and so on to fill out a form stating that the vehicle is fit for transporting students. So please support Cinephile 33. Before last year's bill was passed, qualified academy staff who are deaf and hard of hearing transported students safely to educational and co-curricular activities and field trips. Please revise this law and let our staff who are deaf and hard of hearing do the jobs for which they are already qualified. Thank you very much.
Any questions for our witnesses? Thank you both for being here, and I appreciate it. I understand that you're here to speak directly to the exception that's on that we spoke about earlier. I believe that members is from line 3.18 to 3.19. Thank you both for your input. Senator Olsen, do you have other testifiers? I believe, let's see, we have two more people on the list.
Yes, Madam Chair, and they're here now.
Mr. Schneidewand, did I say that right?
Right. Mr. Kirk Schneidewand, that's
Schneidewand.
Yep, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, my name is Kirk Schneidewand. I represent the Minnesota School Boards Association. I just want to reiterate the importance of getting this bill fixed. It's been one of those bills that has consumed a great deal of our association's time in terms of interpretation and understanding and what it meant. And I think the language that he has proposed here in this language provides that fix to school districts. It's very clear, it's understandable, and our administrators and school boards will have a much better understanding of how this provision will work and what it means for them. And so I want to thank Senator Olsen and the members of the ed orgs who collaborated, as well as the transportation folks who collaborated in working this piece out, and we just would like to give our support on this.
Thank you. And Ms. Doslin?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Valerie Doslin, and I represent the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. And I'd like to thank the committee for their time and Senator Olsen for moving this bill forward. We thought that when this bill was moving forward last year that the language in the bill exempted those occasional drivers. So, for instance, a debate coach that might be taking a student or a golf coach. But over the course of the interim, there was an interpretation by the Department of Public Safety saying that all drivers were subject to this. new requirement, and so we've been working with Senator Olsen over the summer to clarify that it's for those people who are solely hired to drive students, and we just thank Senator Olsen, and I'm available for any questions.
Ms. Doslin or Mr. Schneidewind, I understand the current law asks for the local school districts to adopt policies with respect to the drug testing. Have most or can you tell the committee members how many school districts have done that or already have that in place?
Madam Chair,
so Schneidewind.
We don't have information on that in terms of whether they've, how many have adopted that. And that's been one of the issues I know Senator Olsen talked about is the pre-employment, how many districts do that. And I just don't have a good firm count on that. I think it's a local discretion, local policy that allows them to make that or create that policy, I should say.
Well, Mr. Schneiderman, under current law, the drug testing is mandatory both for pre-employment and on the day that it goes when effective for the current employees or current operators at the time. And I believe this proposal is proposing to change that, to make it mandatory as a condition of pre-employment, but it leaves how to address the current operators to the governing policy of the district operating at the time that the law goes into effect. And I think it would be important for us to get some sense from you on, you know, where those where the school districts are in terms of their policies.
That's your
Madam Chair, and I'll submit a letter to you and the members of the committee to let you know where the districts are in their the policies for drug testing.
Ms. Doslin, any more information than that, or are you sort of in the same place?
In the same place. We work collaboratively together to try to gather that information from our member districts.
Yeah, I think it would be helpful, given that the requirement for the policy has been in effect, and it is current law. And so in a way, I mean, we're making the change so very quickly, but it would also be reassuring to know that the law is being taken seriously. I understand the constraints. I mean, the economic constraints that we place on the schools. And yet, I remember that this was debated quite rigorously when we brought the bill up in committee. Any questions for the witnesses or Senator Olsen? Seeing none, Senator Olsen moves that Senate File 33 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Education Policy and Budget Committee. Oh, anybody in the audience here who would like to testify on the bill? Please come forward. I apologize.
How are you?
Thank
Please
you,
state your name for the record.
My name is Marty Porter. I'm Allison's mom. I wanted to state as a parent what's happening with us. The costs are also extended to us because we're having to take time off of work. We're driving further to pick our children up after games. Before, the coaches could drive the children to the games and then drive them back to North Star Academy, which was closer for several parents to pick them up. We have students that are an hour, hour and a half into Wisconsin. For them to come back and go down to Faribault, that's an extra hour for them on picking up the children. I also would like to state, as a parent, that I feel much safer for my daughter to be with a deaf driver than I do with a hearing driver, because of communication issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Porter. Thank you for coming, and thank you for your input. On that note, if there is no further discussion, Senator Olsen renews her motion on Senate File 33. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Olsen.
Madam Chair, members, thank you.
I'm going to recess the committee for about 15 minutes because I think we have a couple of members who are in the budget committee discussions. Senator Scheid, I hope you're okay. They've requested that we give them an opportunity to participate.
Sure, absolutely.
All right. So we'll take a 15-minute recess, and we're going to gauge where they're at in terms of the discussions, and then we'll come back. So we're in recess.